Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
You know, I frequently get questions about how someone can break up with their partner or deal with a disagreement without hurting the other person's feelings or being seen as, and this is for women, a witch with a B. And, you know, I believe that's the wrong question. The truth is that any two people are going to disagree at some point in time. It's how these disagreements are handled that is the important factor. And being aware of how you come across is fine, but too many people give the other person's feelings more credence than they give their own. This leads to either passively accepting something you don't want or pushing back so strongly that permanent damage to the relationship is done. And we're seeing a lot of this play out right now in the whole conversation around consent and, to an extent, the Me Too movement. And the truth is, the feelings and desires of both people are important, one not more than the other, and being able to accept that premise is what allows you to set the boundaries that you need to feel safe and secure in any relationship. And learning to be assertive is the key to this acceptance. So to talk about practical ways to do this, I'm joined by Dr. Seth Gillihan, Clinical Assistant Professor of Psychology at the University of Pennsylvania. Dr. Gillihan, thanks so much for being on the show to talk about this important and timely topic.
Well, thank you, Leslie. I'm really happy to be here.
So, I mean, you know, we're hearing a lot about how to get out of uncomfortable situations, how not to hurt other people's feelings, which, again, we're never responsible for other people's feelings, although we can certainly be made to feel that way. But you wrote an article called Five Benefits of Asserting Your Needs and How to Start Today, which I love the title. You talk about assertiveness being somewhere between passive on one hand and aggressive on the other. And I know a lot of people have this challenge with the difference between assertive and aggressive. So, one, can you share a little bit about, you know, clarify this and explain what's meant by these terms?
Yes, for sure. So, I think of being passive as basically saying that, you know, what I want doesn't matter. So I'm denying my needs or putting someone else's needs way in front of them. So, you know, a simple example could be something like, you know, maybe two people are trying to decide where to go to eat, and maybe I hate sushi. I actually love sushi, but if I hate sushi, the other person says, "How about sushi?" And I sort of you know, swallow that you know, I dislike for it and say, "Okay, sure." And so we go there, even if, you know, there were an option that maybe we both would like, but I just completely ignore my own preferences. Being aggressive is the opposite. So what you want doesn't matter. So, you know, if I want Italian food and you can't eat basically anything on the menu, I'm going to ignore that fact and not take the other person's feelings into account. So, you know, in either of these, there's no sense of balance. You know, so it's not like assertiveness is the opposite of being passive. The opposite of being passive is being aggressive.
Right.
Assertiveness ends at a point where, you know, that balance tips. So if I'm demanding that you do exactly what I want in a way that disregards your feelings, your wishes, your preferences, then I'm verging into aggressive behavior. But you'll hear people kind of use assertive when they really mean aggressive. Like they'll describe something really aggressive that they did and say, "Well, you know, sorry, that's just the way I am. I'm just an assertive person." But in fact, they're out of balance.
Well, and I know that that's one of the things, and I think that I see it personally, and being a woman, I probably, my lens is probably more focused that way. I see that women really struggle with this concept of assertiveness. One of the things that I talk with my clients about is you're not more important than anybody else in your family. You're as important. So adding yourself into the equation, not taking other people out. But that seems to be a really hard thing because, you know, women are told, well, then you're just being selfish, or you're not being nice, or, you know, so how do we be assertive and nice at the same time? I mean, is that even possible?
Absolutely. Yes, and I would argue that being, you know, being a decent person, it goes hand in hand with being assertive. That if we're being unkind, there's a good chance that our behavior is not what we would call assertive. So mm-hmm. I think the first thing to do when we're struggling with assertiveness is to figure out what the obstacles are. You know, are they is there anxiety about beliefs that I have about what will happen if I ask for what I need? Am I afraid mm-hmm. that I'm going to upset someone, or that they're going to say no, or that it's going to create an awkward situation, or that I'm going to be called, aggressive or demanding or high maintenance or something. Mm-hmm. Figuring out what the block might be, and then once we know what it is, then we can start working to address it. You know, maybe to test some of those beliefs. If I believe that people are going to say no, so there's no sense in asking. Well, that's one way to find out. We can start, judiciously asking for what we need, and most of the time, actually, people are much more willing to provide what we need when we ask for it. If we don't ask, most people are more than willing to ignore. Well, I shouldn't generalize that much, but a lot of the time, people are not going to take our needs into account if they don't know what they are.
Right, that heads into what I call the mind reading school of marriage or relationships, that I'm not expressing what matters to me, so how is my partner supposed to know? And then, of course, it's like, well, if they love me, they would just know. And I'm going, okay, how's that working for you? Because, you know, and that's the same kind of thing that if my partner says, hey, do you want to do this? And I say, fine, they're not going to delve into, do I really mean fine? They're going to take me at face value. And if I really want something else, how do I express it? And I know that this is a real challenge in a lot of marriages, relationships, doesn't matter, work, in any place. And, I think people get caught up in, well, then I have to go to the other extreme and just be, draw a line in the sand and get really harsh mm-hmm. if I'm not getting my way. And so I really like what you're saying about assertiveness being this balance of your needs and my needs, and how do we negotiate that.
Yeah, and I think some of what you're getting at too is the fact that being passive and then being aggressive can they also tend to go together. So if I deny my needs, if I'm sitting in sushi restaurants, picking at my food, watching the other person enjoy their food because my needs were completely ignored, I'm probably going to start to feel irritated, and mm-hmm. at some point I may, after bottling it up long enough, I might explode. So, you're exactly right. That by expressing what we need, we actually our relationships actually will go better, which may be the opposite of what we think. We might think we're going to ruin our relationships. But I can certainly understand that desire for the other person to just know what I want, and that somehow I can relate to this feeling of, if I have to ask, then somehow that's going to make it less meaningful when the person gives me what I ask for. It's going to cheapen it somehow.
Right. Well, and whenever I get that comment back from a client, I say, well, so when your partner gives you what you ask for your birthday or your anniversary or Christmas, do you take it back? And they look at me like I'm crazy. And it's
right.
Like, okay, so what's the difference?
Right, right, exactly. And why does it not show the other person's real love and care that they're willing to provide exactly what we ask for?
Right, because the alternative is they could just say no and not do it. But you're talking a little bit about some of the things that you mentioned in the article about that actually being assertive has a lot of benefits. And, you know, and again, going back to the whole consent movement, the idea of actually getting consent and actually really talking about what's working for each of us, you know, we miss those benefits. So could you talk about some of the benefits you mentioned in the article?
Yes, I think one of the biggest benefits of assertive communication is it's just so clarifying. It makes things clear and it helps both parties in that way. I think we might think of assertiveness as primarily helping the person who's being assertive, but it helps the other person to know, all right, this is what my partner's experiencing, this is what what they want, and I'll know that if I've provided those things, assuming the person's telling the truth, then that I'm giving them what they're asking for. So for that reason, there's research showing if you train people to be more assertive, it actually strengthens their relationships.
Right, because people aren't left guessing.
Exactly. So you know, along those same lines, the anxiety that we were talking about earlier, anxiety in particular can improve by practicing more assertiveness. So with social anxiety especially, you know, I might have this fear that if I behave in a certain way toward other people that they're not going to like me or they're going to reject me. And so practicing being assertive helps in at least a couple ways. One is by doing what I'm afraid of. It's a kind of exposure, and you know, practicing it repeatedly makes it more comfortable, less uncomfortable to do. And also, most of the time, I'm going to find out that what I'm afraid might happen doesn't. And so that disconfirmation of what I'm afraid of then also lessens my anxiety. So my anxiety gets better. My mood often will improve because there's a better chance that my needs are being met. And I'm going to start to see myself as someone who is, I mean, frankly, worthy of respect. If I'm asking for what I need, that signals a kind of self-respect, and that can feed into a healthier self-concept, greater sense of agency and control over my life, and all those things are good for how we see ourselves and how we feel.
And I think that may be one of the biggest challenges because, you know, learning to deal with our anxieties, learning to deal with our fears, learning to believe that we all have inherent value. I tell people, it's like, you have inherent value simply because you exist. You don't have to earn it. I mean, we can lose it, I think, by our behavior, but the idea that somehow I'm not worthy of having my needs met is a really dangerous place for people to be in terms of happiness and good relationships.
It is dangerous and sadly pretty common, that willingness to ignore my needs and the difficulty in seeing myself as someone who has that basic inherent worth. And people that I treat, you know, we often run into this and work on it. And one of the things that we'll often do together is think about ways of practicing showing love for oneself that don't rely on generating the feelings first, because it's really hard for someone to just start feeling love for yourself.
Right. I'm wonderful. What is it? The Stuart Smalley?
Yes. Yes, yeah, that kind of I'm just going to prop myself up.
Mm-hmm.
So what I start with most often is behavior. Let's practice treating yourself as if you're someone who's worthy, as if you're someone you care about. And so I think assertiveness has a place exactly in that kind of practice.
That's one of the things that I know has been around for a long time, and it's something that I try to work with people, is that on some level we have to have a good opinion of ourselves before we can become part of a healthy relationship, because I think it's about that dynamic. It's about what I call establishing appropriate boundaries, which of course is being assertive about getting our needs met. And that doesn't necessarily mean that our partner or the other person in the relationship is always going to meet our needs, but then we at least get to make a decision about whether or not this is a good relationship for us to be in. It's, you know, you kind of weigh what you're getting versus what you're not getting, as opposed to just having to accept whatever it is you're given.
That's exactly right. So once we ask, either we get what we're asking for or not, but either way we get information. Mm-hmm. And like you said, then we can make decisions based on information. But if we don't ask because we're afraid we won't get it, then we never know, and then we're not, it's not clear what we're acting on.
Well, and I think that's an important thing, going back to the consent movement, and when we first meet people, and being really clear about what our own needs are and being able to put them forward, and then we see, is this person going to make room for my needs, or are they not? And then we can save ourselves a whole lot of anguish if we find that out earlier rather than later.
That's right, yes. And there is such a central place for sort of communication around the whole topic of intimate consent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for anyone, if they're feeling uncomfortable either because they don't want to continue with the intimacy beyond a certain point, either for themselves or because they're afraid that the other person is at a point where he or she really can't, it's not clear that consent can be freely given.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to end up in a situation where the other person then feels like they went further than they wanted to, even though at the time they may have not been saying they want to stop.
Right.
And so it's, for anyone, it's important to be explicit about those things.
Okay, so this is Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm having a very timely conversation about the importance of assertiveness in your life and especially in your relationships with Assistant Professor of Psychology at the University of Pennsylvania, Dr. Seth Gillihan. And if you're someone who equates assertiveness with aggression, or you avoid conflict because you don't know how to deal with it, I invite you to take a moment and reach out to me, because being able to set and enforce clear boundaries is at the foundation of all healthy relationships, and being able to set those boundaries is a function of being able to be assertive. So take a moment, send me an email, or give me a call to schedule a free consultation on how to be a champion for yourself in a healthy, loving way. You can reach me at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I, at foundationscoachingnc.com. That's F-O-U-N-D-A-T-I-O-N-S, coaching, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie, .com. Or you can reach me at area code 919-924-0463. So I want to get back to this really important conversation, because you were talking before the break about behaviors, but you also mentioned some principles that are behind being assertive, and I'm wondering if you could share what those principles are.
Sure. So I think the first principle of assertiveness is the acceptance and the recognition that I'm responsible for my own happiness.
Now so there's some news. It's
right.
My husband's job to make me happy.
Yes, exactly. It's my husband's job. It's my boss's job. It's this driver in front of me. It's the situation. So a big part of being adults, I think probably a growing edge for all of us, is to remind ourselves that only we are responsible ultimately for our own happiness. So part of that is taking ownership of our needs. So acknowledging what our needs are, not denying them,
mm-hmm.
being willing, you know, when appropriate, to express those needs. And, you know, a part of that is recognizing that I'm free to ask for what I need, and the other person is free to say no, and that my happiness does not depend on getting the yes from them. And as we were saying earlier, then I have information I can decide about where I go from there if I get a no. But in the end, assertiveness is not about making sure other people give me what I need, because that's just a recipe for disappointment, frustration, and aggression.
Right, because that almost means more that I'm heading into the being aggressive as opposed to being assertive.
That's right, exactly. So that brings us to another principle, which is equality. So coming back to that idea that there's a sense of justice, that my needs are important, they're as important as your needs, and they're not more important than your needs. So can we find a way to honor both of our needs?
And that's one of the things I tell my clients is that each person's needs need to become the needs of the relationship. And where I think a lot of people struggle is when I don't share the same need that you have, so therefore you have to justify having it, which is like, no. We just have to accept. Now, again, we could decide whether or not we're going to meet our partner's needs, but if we don't, there's some relationship repercussions for that. But
yes, that's right. You know, but that idea of accepting the other person's needs, I think, is points to part of the way we express assertiveness, which is not to say you need to be doing such and such, but it's I need this. This is what I need from you. That's part of that ownership of our needs. And that's a much less debatable statement than telling that person what they need to do, because they can very well say, no, I don't. I don't need to do that. That's what you think. But it's harder to say, no, you don't need me to be a more supportive partner, or you don't need me to be more present when we're together.
Well, and I think that, again, with the assertiveness and being able to talk about this and the clarity, I think that keeps people from fumbling around in the dark. And I think that most people want to be, want to help meet their partner's needs. I think most of us are pretty good people. I think we're just lost. And I think that the assertiveness and clarity helps us.
That's right. I think a lot of times we expect that someone is going to think less of us or like us less if we ask for something and then they do a favor for us. But in fact, there's research showing that people actually like us more if they've done a favor for us. So we don't have to worry about that.
That's really interesting. What other principles are there behind being assertive?
Yeah, the other big one that I think of is self-respect. So again, this willingness to see myself as someone on equal footing with other people. And I never understand exactly why it is that we tend to take our own needs less seriously than those of other people. So I think it just takes it takes a lot of willingness to practice recognizing those needs, that we can be honest with ourselves about what we need and then be honest with others about those needs.
Yeah, and I think that's why you and I stay in business, is because a lot of people struggle with this. And I'm not going to lie, I have throughout my life as well. It's, do people really like me? I always feel like Sally Fields, on the Oscars. You like me, you really like me. But you were talking earlier, and I think that this may be where we can do most service today. You were talking about behaviors that people can focus on as they're learning to be more assertive. And because I think it's true, the adage of sometimes we feel like doing things and sometimes we can make them easier because we're behaving in a way. Behavior follows feelings. Feelings follow behavior as opposed to behavior following feelings.
Yes, exactly. So, I think the first principle we were just, or the first behavior we were just kind of leading into is this honesty. So honesty with others has to start with honesty with myself. So being willing to see my needs, to allow those needs to be exactly as they are. Sometimes we'll deny or suppress our needs kind of preemptively because we're afraid that we're not going to get them met. But if we can first acknowledge them and then, behaviorally just express them directly. So tell the other person, without apology, without hiding ourselves or too much kind of lead in or prefacing, say, this is what I need. And while doing that, there are a lot of, there's what we say, but like with anything else, there's also how we say it. So it's
Absolutely.
Important to, make direct eye contact, look at the person that we're talking to, not in a, in an overly aggressive, you know, kind of stare down way, but again, with our eyes forward, not hiding ourselves, we should aim for an appropriate facial expression. So if I'm angry, you know, that merits a serious facial expression, not a smiling to make it seem like non-threatening or something. Mm-hmm. Just telling the person, you know, this is a serious topic. We're having a serious conversation. You know, standing up straight while doing it. Again, not crouching, not cowering, but presenting myself with a sense of purpose and dignity, and also using a firm tone. So not yelling at the person, not raising my voice, but also not swallowing my voice. So again, that balance that really defines assertiveness. So in all of this, I think there's a sense of expecting a favorable response, of being positive in the way that I approach things. So I think that can help encourage that assertive tone rather than a kind of defensive or aggressive tone where I'm thinking the person's not going to give me what I want, so I'm already feeling, you know, angry or disappointed or something.
Well, and one of the things that I've discovered is humor can be helpful. I mean, my husband and I've been together for 31 years, or actually 32, and you know, we'll say things and we'll say, yes, that's in paragraph 3, article 2 of the marriage contract. You know, it's like,
right.
You know, because it's, but I know that one of the things, and I talk to people about this all the time, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier, is that we don't have to justify or defend our needs. We just, you know, I tell people, I'm willing to explain from now until the end of time, but I'm not going to justify or defend the fact that this is important to me. It, you know, and I think that's where a lot of people struggle, in that I don't understand why this is important to my partner. And Michelle Wiener Davis, who's a, you know, big in my field and divorce busting and the whole thing, you know, basically says understanding is overrated. What I heard her say that, I love this. I don't have to understand that this is important to my partner or this or my child or my friend. I just have to accept that it is, and then I get to make a decision about whether or not I'm going to honor the request.
Yes, it's a great point. And I hear it so much from people that I work with on the other side, which is, well, this is what I want, but I shouldn't want that, or I shouldn't need that. And so denying that need, and it's such a powerful starting place to say, this is just what I need, period.
And I think there's some real question about, is this something that I want, or is it something that I need? And, you know, so I think people can go, oh, I could live without that. I mean, I once had a client who basically said to me that he would give up having sexual relations with his wife if she would just hug him every now and then. I went, oh, don't go there, because he was going to be ignoring a need. So yeah. I think that's another struggle that people have. So do you have any suggestions about how people can figure out what their needs are, what matters to them, what are the things they need to be assertive about?
Yeah. What a big important question. I think the language can trip us up, because mm-hmm. there is this distinction we make between a want and a need. And if we really want to get overly strict about it, we can basically eliminate anything that's not necessary for our immediate survival from the needs. So everything else is a want. I define a need in a relationship or otherwise as anything that would increase our sense of well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that could mean, you know, a hug. We don't need hugs in some basic survival way. I mean, to some extent, it depends on, we don't have to get into all the nuances, but
right.
Right, but it's an unreasonable thing to expect someone to exist in a relationship without any signs of physical affection. I mean, all else being equal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the important things are to listen to what our desires are. To not ignore them, and again to be willing to express them to the other person. But I think it really comes down to just listening
mm-hmm.
to what our bodies and our minds and our hearts are telling us.
And I think that's an important thing that we need to do in this day and age of everybody rushing around being so busy, is to just stop and listen to ourselves, which, you know, people go, I don't have time for this. It's like, well, my response is you don't have time not to, because it's good to come back and bite you at some point. And I think that's also something that we're very uncomfortable with doing is, you know, I think busy is kind of the new self-medication, because it's easier than stopping and looking and trying to figure out what do we need to do to address these things going on with inside of us.
Yes, I think you're exactly right. I think we're prone to thinking and doing and slowing down and being and entering into more of a kind of mindful presence. I think is as beneficial as it is. I think it's not our inclination. I think there's a part of us that it feels like death to slow down. And yet I found we actually designed a questionnaire a few years ago to measure awareness of our needs, which is something that people vary on. Some are highly aware of what they need, others are not very aware
mm-hmm.
at all. And one of the interesting correlates we found is that people who tend to be more mindfully present, not surprisingly, tend to have a greater awareness of their needs. So it suggests that by practicing the principles of mindfulness, being present, being open to my experience as it unfolds, can increase our awareness of our needs.
Well, that sounds fantastic. And mentioning, you know, the questionnaire that you did and the research that you do, can you tell people where they can learn more about what you do, how to be assertive, all the kinds of things we've been talking about today?
Yes. So I've got a website. It's just my first and last name, SethGillihan.com. I have a blog that I write on regularly on PsychologyToday.com. It's called Think, Act, Be.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also got a self-directed workbook for managing anxiety and depression called Retrain Your Brain, Cognitive Behavioral Therapy in 7 weeks. You can find out about that on my website. And stay tuned for another forthcoming book on CBT for managing difficult emotions.
Ah, that will be wonderful. I can't wait to see that, because I think that's something we all struggle with. And, you know, going back to what I was saying at the beginning, that trying to spare someone's feelings, especially someone you care about, is a really nice idea. The problem is it leads to hedging on how you're feeling and being clear about what it is that you need. The result? Miscommunication, misunderstanding, and quite often resentment, which I call the kudzu of relationships. And if you're from the South, you know what I mean by kudzu. You're adopting a position of assertiveness is really the antidote to all of this. So done correctly, it's the pathway to happiness. And that's what we all want, and that's what I want for all of you listeners. And so hopefully you'll keep listening to the program. And until next week, stay loving.